This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. You're now listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Roshan Kanesan. It is Monday, January the 16th, and I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
Hi, Frida. How are you doing?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
Not too bad. Although sometimes I feel like the weekends are more tiring than they are relaxing.
No more drama with the dog.
Actually, no, that's another story for another day. Speaking of, okay, not drama so much, but developments in the payment space. Last week, we saw two regional fintech unicorns enter Malaysia, offering payment solutions and e-wallet capabilities. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, more e-wallets and more payment solutions. That said, you know, it's such a crowded space. And as it is, I think a lot of people feel there are already so many options here, both from the consumer side and from the merchant's perspective. So today on BizBytes, we're exploring the ever-crowded world of payments, providers and systems, and where these two new unicorns could possibly fit in, whether on the merchant side or on the consumer side.
So the consumer obviously happy with more choices. But anyway, Indonesian Zendit announced that it's entered Malaysia, offering its payment solution for businesses. It positioned itself as a one-stop payment infrastructure and offers payments acceptance from virtual accounts, credit and debit cards, e-wallets, retail outlets and direct debit. Days later, we saw the entry of another foreign payments player, True Money from Thailand. So True Money announced that they're now the official payment provider for all of Lotus's hypermarkets in Malaysia, but that most competing e-wallets will still be usable at Lotus's stores. Interestingly, both True Money's parent company and Lotus are linked with Thai-based conglomerate Charoen Phapan Group. Yay, I said it right.
Well done, Frida.
I think.
Yeah, well, close enough. But that's an interesting connection there, right? Because I guess that may have opened the doors to do that, to get that deal done. Mm. But again, we'll leave that for discussion a little bit later. Now, when we take a look at the payment space, according to the Economy C 2022 report, that's the annual report issued by Google, Bain and Temasek, payments recorded $806 billion in gross transaction value in 2022. That's just Southeast Asia, by the way. That's up 35% from 2019, so from pre-pandemic. And it's expected to increase, hold on to your hats, 2.6 times to $2.1 trillion in 2030. That's just transaction value in gross terms. That represents a compounded annual growth rate of around 13%. That means we're expecting payments to continue, the transaction volume of transaction value of payments to continue to grow 13% on average a year. So no doubt payments is big business. But whether you're a consumer or a business owner, do we really need more cashless payments options in Malaysia or even regionally? That's a question we're posing over to you. Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. For now, though, in the studio to get a perspective on this, we're speaking to Vincent Fung, Chief Editor at FinTech News Asia. Vincent, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me in the studio, Roshan, Frida. Payments is certainly vibrant. I guess one thing that I do want to follow up with you on later is the dog drama, but that's another story for another day.
Another day.
Yeah,
we'll do a session on... Actually, the pet industry could be something interesting for another day.
And you can speak with, you know,
with passion. For sure.
Pet insurance is a growing business.
It is.
Okay.
It's actually something we're working on for a future show. So... before we dive into the new players, Vincent, what that could mean for merchants and customers, as someone who follows the space closely, and I know this could be a tall task to ask of you, what does the current payments landscape look like in Malaysia?
Well, brace yourself, because I have a lot of numbers
for you guys.
Fantastic. And it got your pen and paper out?
Yeah, I got pen and paper out, and some of these are memorized. So as you know, we track the payments companies, fintech companies that operate a lot across ASEAN every year. Consistently, payments is always the largest segment that we see across ASEAN. And that's not just a phenomenon that's unique to ASEAN, that's the same across the world. If you look at 2021 alone, since you brought up the stats from Google, there were 52 payment unicorns that was created in the year 2021 alone. Of course, that would slow down, given that liquidity is a little bit less in the market these days. So pre-pandemic, when we were tracking, there were 40-odd payment companies and 38-odd e-money issuers.
Right.
As of now, there are over 60-plus payment companies and over 50-plus e-money issuers. So there's a lot of growth over there. Moving on to some stats that came out of Bank Negara's annual report, if you look at e-payments, it has rose from 5 billion to 7.5 billion. Per capita usage of e-wallet has rose from 170 to 220. Check usage has declined. Card transaction has gone up for over 30%. Online banking went up over 41%. E-wallet went up over 70%. Do It Now merchant is now available at over a million merchants.
Wow.
Even e-remittances are seeing a 56.2% growth. Numbers aside.
Right.
I think anecdotally, to me, the barometer of measuring how ubiquitous e-payments are is that I can pay my chicken rice uncle with e-wallet.
Yeah, okay, right.
So it's quite ubiquitous these days, I would say.
Right. And then I think the moral of the story of all those numbers you gave us was whether it is e-wallet or direct payment from your bank account or credit card, cashless payments have just exponentially
increased. Right,
sure.
Right.
For sure.
Maybe not exponentially, they have grown quite significantly. Probably
I would say exponentially because of the pandemic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
We don't want to touch things anymore.
And I guess the fact that you can ask your, that you could go to the chicken rice shop.
Yeah. That's the test.
And buy food using your Do It Now, that is quite fantastic.
Okay.
We should trademark it as the chicken rice test.
The chicken rice test, right? But I think that one of the things is, I think when I go parking, right, there's some places that still insist on cash, right? So that's why, like, I still have cash on me, because that's that, like, you never know.
There's the one more that shall not be named.
Okay, all right. You know, and then just, you know, back to those figures, right? 2.6 trillion, and that's the expected growth, right? According to the report. And trillion US dollars, not trillion baht. Now, many of us might be familiar with players, of course, like your GrabPay, your Boost, your T&G wallet, but where do important B2B players like Revenue Group, GHL, and iPay88 sit in the payments ecosystem?
So I think, of course, as a consumer-facing ones are the ones that we are more familiar with, right? Like you mentioned, the GrabPays and the Touch and Goes of the world. But there are a lot of important payment companies that's doing a lot of important work in Malaysia. I think, for example, if you look at Merchant Trade, Merchant Trade provides e-wallet services, remittance services, a variety of payment services to migrant workers. Yeah. In many ways, they function like a bank account for their base, and they have a huge base. Of course, you have companies like MoneyMatch, who's a rising star in the ecosystem. They recently secured a DigiBank license along with the consortium partners. You have Trianglo, which is a local cross-border payments company. Yeah. Interestingly, many people might not know that they are 40% owned by Ripple. So they've caught attention of international players. They think these guys are doing good work. They invested a substantial amount of money into the company. Another interesting company includes SoftSpace. They receive funding from JCB, which is Japan's version of MasterCard and Visa. And they're working on a lot of innovative solutions. So one thing they worked on is enabling you to accept payment with your phone using a credit card. You can tap your credit card on your phone to accept a payment. And they're also doing some CBDC trials in Japan as well. On the note of parking, pet peeve of mine, because I always lose my parking ticket.
Okay.
Always end up paying 50 ringgit. So there's one company, Sonic Boom, who's doing a lot of the digital payments for parking, right? So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff that's happening in this space.
You know, I was just mentioning all these names because we were there at EY dinner a couple of days ago, and I was like, you know, all these names were mentioned, they were there at the dinner.
Oh, okay.
A few of them.
Okay.
But I mean, just going back to that question, right? So like when we look at, so Revenue Group, GHL, IPA, these are all infrastructure players, correct? Yeah, so they're essentially doing the the pipeline behind, because your e-wallets or your credit cards can't really work if your pipelines or your infrastructure isn't built. Is there anyone else in the B2B space like GHL, like Revenue Group, like IP88 that is getting gaining traction in Malaysia or the region?
There are a few. Interestingly, one of them is also named Revenue as well, Revenue Monster. But yeah, they do play a big role, right? This kind of players, because it's a point of acceptance. But arguably, the most important and the most influential is not really even a startup, it's PayNet, right? Because PayNet is the one that enables all the Do It Now QR, Do It Now transfers, and they've largely driven the whole cashless revolution by enabling seamless kind of transactions, whether it's e-wallet or peer-to-peer transfers to your friends.
Right. And if you've got any thoughts on any of this, let us know over on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or over on Twitter at BFM Radio. We will be continuing this conversation with Vincent Fong, Chief Editor at FinTech News Malaysia, after these messages. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Roshan Kanesan, joined in the studio by Frida Liu. Today on the show, we're taking a look at the ever-crowded payments and e-wallet space in Malaysia. And we're asking you, do we need more providers in the space in Malaysia? You can let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. In the meantime, though, we are asking this question among many, many others to Vincent Fung, Chief Editor at FinTech News Malaysia. Vincent, thank you for staying with us against your will, I guess.
Lock
the door. Keep you in here for an hour. But, you know, there are lots of different perceptions when it comes to fintech or digital financial services in general. Payments is generally a very big space. In fact, a lot of attention is sucked up by payments. What do you think are the biggest misconceptions when it comes to payments and e-wallets in Malaysia?
So I'm going to talk about it more from an entrepreneurial angle.
Yeah, please.
A lot of times where I observe, especially startups that come from the West, they have this perception that, you know, if you go down the QR route, that's the wrong business model. And I think that misconception comes from the fact that where they're from, card payments are very, very ubiquitous, right? You can make like one small payments using credit card terminals and whatnot. But in Malaysia, I don't think your nasi lemak auntie want to like get a credit card terminal, right? So QR payments have an important role in the ecosystem. And I think a lot of times, some of the entrepreneurs that come in from other markets don't really realize that.
Mm. Okay. You know, let's talk about the two new entrants. Let's start starting with Zendit from Indonesia. Which payment players does Zendit directly compete against?
So, of course, Zendit, they have a few kind of payment services they provide, right? One is cross-border payments. Then you compete with folks like MoneyMatch, Wise, Neum. You have online payments, which, you know, you compete with the IP88, BillPlace, Aiden, and Stripes of the World. They also have recurring payment. We have one startup that purely focuses on recurring payment, which is Collect. They offer a few services here and there.
So I guess that brings up the question of their product market fit, right? Because if you can offer all these things in one solution, then maybe you don't have to have three solutions for to do these particular things, right? Whether it's to remit money, to conduct payments, to have recurring payments, as you mentioned there. That's it, though. The market's already very crowded, and everyone's probably got their selected provider at this point. Do you think there's a gap in the business market here for Zendit?
So I think compared to the e-wallet space, B2B payments do have a lot of space to grow, right? There's still a lot of businesses, a lot of SMEs that are going online, and they will need a simple payments checkout kind of service that's provided by the likes of Zendit. The other thing is that remittance is still a big growing space. There are still a lot of people that rely on traditional methods of remittance. So there's a big pie to capture over there. So like I mentioned in the earlier stats, last year alone, digital remittance has grown by 56.2%. So the projection for that to grow is definitely there. That's why these players are coming in. In fact, Zendit is not the only remittance players that are entering Malaysia, right? Other remittance players are looking at Malaysia and like this space has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. So you have unicorns like Wise, you have unicorns like Airwallex entering the same space.
Right.
So what is it about Malaysia that, you know, they see as a opportunity, right? Because a lot of times it feels like Malaysia is a decently sized market, but not as big as Thailand or Indonesia. But at the same time, you have people come here to set up shop. Is it that Malaysia is a good place to kind of beta test your products?
to say that we've got regional presence.
Yeah.
It could be just that sometimes.
I feel like Malaysia is the Goldilocks market of ASEAN. Because in Singapore, things are extremely developed. Gaps are a little bit less. Addressable market is a little bit smaller. Malaysia sits somewhere in between, right? We have good infrastructure, but we still have gaps that we need to address. Plus, you know, as I mentioned, for the remittance, it's just there's a lot of room for people to come in and target these markets. Other than that, you know, it's also some of the government programs as well. Zendit, of course, as you may know, is brought in by the Penjana Capital Program.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, 56.2% growth. Any which way I can take your money, let me help you, right? Let me help you. Let me make it easy. Okay. What about True Money? What can you tell us about their entry into Malaysia?
Right. So, True Money, they entered the market last week, right? Checked out the app. For now, they're not integrated with Do It Now QR. Most e-wallets, you can either scan the QR or have your QR be scanned by the merchants. For now, they only allow for the QR to be scanned. Primarily, I think right now they're focusing mostly on the Lotus customer base, which, as you mentioned, is a shared parentage with CP Group.
This is pretty interesting, right? Because e-wallet space, again, maybe you've already got your e-wallet picked. Like, what would it take for you to add another e-wallet to your phone? For me, it would be like, it would have to have a very specific use case, right? Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier. Again, not an endorsement of any particular product. But recently, I just started using Settle because I wanted to remove one card, reward card from my wallet so that I can have it on my phone.
Like for me, like it's just that one, right? Because it has a multi-purpose, right?
So everyone needs to have some kind of like hook, I believe, in the e-wallet space. So while True Money announced that they're partnering with Lotus, it's not while they're a quote-unquote official payment partner, it's not an exclusive arrangement. I can still go to Lotus and use any other e-wallet there. What do you think, in your best estimate, is the strategy here?
So they enabled 10 other e-wallets which you can use in Lotus, by the way. But I would imagine, given their shared parentage, they would probably have a lot more exclusive deals with Lotus. And Malaysians are suckers for deals, right? So I'm sure there are some appeal for some audience over there. But whether or not that enables them to grow out of the Lotus base remains to be seen. I think the last successful case of a late entry into e-wallet market that we've seen is Shopee Pay. Right? So you need to have the ecosystem. You need to have the stickiness. I'm not sure if just Lotus alone is enough. Yeah, so that's something we have to observe as we go on.
Right, because again, with an e-wallet to acquire customers, either you need to be very aggressive. So Shopee was very aggressive when they came in. The other players have either one player has basically the predominant e-hailing business here, and the other player has tolls and parking, right? Which makes it very convenient. So you've got these players, they're very big. Then you've got True Money coming in. Whether they'll succeed or not, there's a whole different thing. But I'm guessing they would have to have some kind of very rewarding rewards program. Like if I go to Lotus, for every ringgit I spend, you give me like 3 points or something like that to incentivize me to use it. Just like how other very niche e-wallets are doing that. Do you think, what would they have to do? Would it be, is there a space in terms of like niche market where True Money can go and say, hey, we're going to be the default supermarket rewards program provider?
But it's tough, right? Because even if you're going for the supermarket play, they're not unique in that situation.
Yeah.
You have Aeon, you have Grab, who like bought a whole grocery
chain.
Right.
And it's different because like Grab, they can afford to give out more because it's their own company. And I mean, although Lotus and True Money is affiliated, it's not from the same pocket, right? So I honestly, I don't know if it's sufficient.
You know, so as it stands, you know, for consumers and merchants, it really feels like there are too many payment options to consider. Now, with how crowded the space is, how are you seeing payment players compete for merchants, right? Is it all about the, you know, merchant discount rate?
So are you saying that whether MDR is the main... I think maybe not, because these days, a lot of merchant acquisition is done through Do It Now QR, which is a universal QR. Then you have TPAs, which are the third-party acquirers like JHL to enable e-wallet payments, right? I think for merchants, the main thing is, what is my customer using? So if my customer is using this brand, I'm using this brand. So I think that's the key for most merchants, I would imagine.
While we are on this topic of Do It Now, last month, Boost partnered with Payments Network Malaysia, PayNet, to enable its merchants to, I found this quite interesting, to accept cross-border payments from Thai tourists using Do It Now QR in Malaysia. Vincent, I don't know whether I'm reading a bit too much into this. It seemed really, really interesting, but is this a potential threat to credit cards while being a huge win for PayNet? You know, because usually cross-border, it's you got to use your credit card. Now, if like if this becomes bigger and I have a bank account that's affiliated with Do It Now in a former in another country, I can just use my e-wallet.
Potentially, but also to just kind of set a little bit of context, right? This whole do it now QR interoperability between Boost and the QR in Thailand is part of a much larger initiative.
Mm.
So ASEAN is undergoing this whole payment connectivity initiative,
right,
in which you will see like Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, all being able to use the same QRs to pay across
right.
markets
right.
and also be able to transfer money using just mobile numbers.
Right.
So if you
yes.
have a friend
yes.
in Singapore, you can just transfer using
yes.
mobile numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Southeast Asia is really at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
So this case between Singapore and Thailand has actually inspired BIS, which is an organization that's owned by 43 central banks, to actually replicate this model around the world. So they're trying to push for this kind of interoperable payments. But to answer your question about the credit cards, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, when you travel, you tend to spend a little bit more on big ticket items.
Mm.
And I generally see QR as smaller ticket items. I think the threat to credit cards would be more of those wallets that is card-based, like Wise and BigPay.
Right. Okay. And you know, it'll be, you know, we say this now, right? Mm. And then you see how things will just change
yeah.
suddenly, right? As you know, if you've been around as long as I have, you've seen the things that didn't get accepted before and suddenly it's mainstream. So what else are you keeping a keen eye on in the region when it comes to the payment space?
So cross-border payments is really exciting right now. If you look at wholesale CBDC, central bank digital currencies, 90% of central banks around the world are already experimenting to use CDBCs to enable cheaper cross-border payments. Mm. And this is not something that's far away that's happening, right? There's 35 Asian countries that's already working on it. And even in Malaysia, Bank Negara, under Project Dunbar, is working with the Reserve Bank of Australia, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, and the South African Reserve Bank.
Right.
To issue their own CBDCs to transact with each other directly to reduce intermediaries' costs and also time of transaction as well.
Right.
This is quite interesting, right? Because essentially we're seeing a concerted effort in ASEAN to work together on something that's a bit more seamless.
Yeah.
And you know, the I don't know whether this applies, but it always seems like ASEAN can't agree on anything to get, you know, to get things done. But these are only five members in ASEAN states, right? And just to reiterate, CBDC means central bank digital currency. This is basically a form of digital money that is issued by any particular central bank,
right?
So everyone has been toying around with these ideas for the last few years. What is the use case? Mm-hmm. What is it really? How could this really work? And I guess to wrap up this conversation around payments, Vincent, let's take a look at the regulatory side of things,
sure.
right? Because with all these different developments, obviously there will come different kind of regulatory changes as well, whether we are looking at, again, this ASEAN development on payments or other things out there. So are there any regulatory changes or updates that business owners and merchants should be keeping an eye on?
So I think the latest update would be the new e-money policy document that was issued by the central bank last December. There's enhanced focus on cybersecurity. As we know, last year there was a major cybersecurity incident with a major payment company.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of focus. Yes, that one. There's a lot more focus on it right now. They've also more clearly defined white labeling. So overall, the whole policy is a little bit more well-defined. Other than that, it may not directly be a payments thing, but a lot of payments companies are venturing into lending, they're venturing into BNPL solutions. So the new Consumer Credit Act, which also regulates BNPL and consumer lending, would be very relevant for these players to look into.
So is it, in terms of long-term monetization or business for the business model for payments, right? Is it that they're going to have to bundle it with other products where payments is just that entry point for me to funnel in customers and then I monetize it in different ways? Is that basically the business model that payments the front-end payments providers need to look at?
I mean, it makes sense, right? You already have the customer base. So how do you add value-added services? How do you increase stickiness? So adding all these additional ancillary services just makes a lot of business sense.
Right.
All right. Vincent, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Lots of insights. Crowded
thoughts
payments.
Thoughts swirling in my head.
Thoughts swirling, numbers swirling, lots of things to think about. But end of the day, the payment space is continuing to grow as more and more people go cashless. Something to continue to keep an eye on there. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Vincent Fong, Chief Editor at FinTech News Malaysia. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. After the 1 p.m. news bulletin, we've got the Breakfast Grill. Now, 2022 was a year year full of volatility for many asset classes, and I'm sure all our portfolios are showing it, including equities, bonds, commodities, currencies, and also cryptocurrencies. From a war in Europe to the Fed hiking interest rates to the collapse of FTX, as well as Elon Musk's shenanigans, I guess you could call it, investors were definitely taken for a little bit of a roller coaster ride. So as we look to 2023 with China reopening its borders, what does the future hold for the many asset classes out there, and where should investors be keeping their eyes on? Well, we had a special guest on the Morning Run this morning, Mark Mobius, co-founder of Mobius Capital Partners, also known as the godfather of emerging markets. He took the hot seat this morning to share his thoughts, and you can catch that after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. I'm Roshan Gunnison with Frida Liu in the studio this afternoon, and you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.